Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Lingering, waiting, and pressing. And I'm sharing this message actually from our journey of desperation and hunger. At Passover this year, there was such a shift in the atmosphere that released this desperate hunger. And many of you have said, yes, I've been experiencing that too, where you say, I cannot go on as I've been. I can't stay the same. I can't stay in the same place. I'm so hungry for God. I've never been hungrier. And for those of us that were struggling even to identify hunger, we're saying, if I don't get hungry, you know, I just can't live. I have to have the more. And the Holy Spirit is stirring our hearts for the more. And when He does that, His intention is to fill you. He stirs you with wanting more so that He can fill you with more, more of Him. And we've been so desperate for Him in these last few months that we're saying, Jesus, you know, we would love revival. Yes, of course. We'd love miracles. Yes, of course. We'd love whatever's out there. Of course, we enjoy that, but we just want you. We want you. We want you to show up. We want you in your bigness to manifest your glory, to manifest your presence, to manifest your heart. We're so hungry for you. We want to be transformed in your presence. And so as we've been coming before the Lord with our hearts in that way, it's like God is opening up wells. He is opening up blessing. He is opening up revelation. And as, you know, we've experienced waves of revival over the decades, you know, that I've known the Lord. One thing that I've noticed that is in true revival, you live inside a sovereign presence and movement of the Spirit, that you're just inside a grace that propels you along. And we are actually starting to see that new level of grace break through. And so we want to accelerate for the more. We're just so excited about what God is doing. And the hungrier you get, the more He will fill. And it's like one taste of God just makes you want more. Amen. So it's just really beautiful what's happening in the house. So many of you with the same testimony, lives being transformed, conviction coming to people's lives, beautiful conviction. You know, we've had people come to us and say, you know, I just got to change. We were in the middle of prayer yesterday, it was, right? In the middle of prayer yesterday, praying for the spirit of conviction to come on people that were entangled in dark things. And as we're praying, it actually happens. And some friends of ours got a phone call from someone that says, I'm really convicted by the Spirit. I need your help. Come and help me. And things like this are happening. It is happening. We are actually having the trickles of the presence go in great ways and is manifesting already. And God wants us to press for the more. He actually wants us to press for the more because we can have more. And I was talking with some friends this week and we're just, you know, dreaming big in God. We're saying, what would it be like, you know, if this next move, because Haggai says the latter glory of the house is greater than the former. What would it be like if this next move that we are just stepping into with our toes right now, what if this next move is marked by every single aspect of previous revivals? What if it has the holiness presence? What if it has the conviction presence? What if it's like the healing revivals? What if it's the harvest revival? What if it's, you know, the deliverance revivals? What if it's all of it at one? What if it's the joy revival? What if it's drunk in the Holy Spirit? You know, what if it's all of the above all the time? And I'm thinking, yes, Lord, like, why not? Why wouldn't He want that? Because that is heaven on earth. And Jesus taught us to pray in that way. He says, our Father who lives in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So all that we've just shared is what's in heaven. And he wants it on the earth. That's how he taught us to pray. Because his is the kingdom. His is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that can be your testimony. That can be my testimony. Not just words, but encounter. Encounter. And so I'm very, very excited about the season that we are in. And I want to share some things that I hope will whet your appetite for more of him this morning. And so I wanted to share about lingering, waiting, and pressing, because it's what the Lord's been speaking to me personally about. He says, I want you to linger in my presence. Don't just go, you know, okay, I spent my half an hour. Okay, let's go and do something else now. So I want you to linger. Even when you feel, you know, the presence lift, I want you just to linger a little bit longer and see what happens, right? And I've noticed that there's this amazing soaking and impartation that happens even after, you know, the weight of his presence lifts a bit when you're spending time with him. If you linger just a little bit longer, there's this whole other level and waiting and pressing. So I want to define tarry, the word tarry. It's a word that we don't really use too much in the English language anymore. You don't hear it in common conversation. But in the Bible, in Luke 24:49, it says, and behold, this is Jesus speaking, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until, tarry until, say tarry, until you are endued with power from on high. So when you tarry, you're positioning yourself to be empowered. So tarry until. Now the word tarry defined means to linger with an expectation. So if you position yourself, even if you don't feel like it, just position yourself to tarry. Linger there with expectation, saying, Jesus, I might be dry right now. I might be feeling numb, but I'm just going to position myself before you, and I'm going to tarry. I am going to linger with expectation until the manifestation of fresh power comes. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit's dunamis comes on me. And the word wait, defined, it means to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect, to linger. There's that word linger again. And to entwine together or to bind together. And in Isaiah 40:31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I've seen this in the spirit, this rising up of the eagles. In fact, we saw it in prayer this week. It was one of the many visions that we received in prayer, was these eagles just circling around this city and around this work, and they had mounted up. And the thing about an eagle is that they will spread their wings in the midst of a storm, and the winds of the storm will not destroy them or take them down. They will bring them up above the storm, and they will soar above all the storms. And I saw that for the church in this hour, that God wants us, when we see the storms that are in the world, the storms that are contrary to his ways, when those contrary winds blow, we're just going to spread out our wings, because we're waiting on him. We're entwined in him. We're longing for him. We're lingering with him. And as a result of that, we're going to be carried up, 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 up above it and rule and reign with him as he is our conquering king. And the word press, defined, it means to run swiftly in order to catch or obtain a person or thing, to run after with strength and fervency, to press. And in Philippians 3:12-14, it says, not that I've already attained, this is Paul speaking, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so we see Paul was committed to a press. And he says they're forgetting the things that are behind you, pressing on to the new. And sometimes the great things that God has done in your past and the way that you've known him to operate in your past, as good as they were in the past, are not going to fit into your future. The memory can be carried in, the joy of that memory and the joy of that testimony can be carried forth, but we need to press for the new. And that's the position that God's got his church in right now, is saying, you know, you're not going to be able to compare what's happened in the past with what I'm about to do. Because what I'm about to do, your eyes have not seen yet. Your ears have not heard yet. It's not even entered into your heart. And the only way that we can position ourselves for that is to be in his presence. And so I want to give some examples of those who have lingered, waited, pressed. And we see Joshua in Exodus 33. So Moses is going into the tent of meeting, and Joshua went too. But after Moses left, Joshua lingered. After Moses left, Joshua lingered. And so we have Joshua staying longer in the presence of the Lord. And when it was time to bring Israel into the promised land, when Moses died, who was chosen to go in? It was Joshua, the one who lingered. The one who was waiting on God, the one who was pressing. And then we see the example of Elijah. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, he was used of God to confront the prophets of Baal. And then he heard the sound of a heavy rain. He heard the sound in the spirit. He heard the sound. There was no rain in sight. There was no cloud in sight. They'd been in drought for all those years. You know, there was nothing that showed that except the revelation. And what he did to birth the revelation is he put himself in a position to linger, to wait, and to press. And he put his head between his knees. He sent his servant out to go look for the cloud. But he stayed positioned in the press. He stayed positioned, waiting on God and lingering in God's presence, and refused to come out of that place of press until the rain was about to fall. When the servant came back and said, well, you know, there is, you know, this little cloud, it's just a little guy, about the size of a man's fist right now, but it's there. And he says, yes, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what he was pressing for, because he knew that the moment that it opened, the rest would come. And it's just so beautiful when you see these examples. What about Anna the prophetess? In Luke chapter 2, we see this woman of God who became a widow in her teens and remained in the temple for over 60 years praying and fasting, not leaving the place of prayer. Pastor was saying the other day as we were in prayer, yeah, we're not going to stop. This is not like, you know, we're not planning on stopping after 6 months or whatever. We're just going to remain. And that's what Anna the prophetess did. Now, because she was a prophetess, she knew about the messianic prophecies. She understood the messianic prophecies, and she carried those prophetically in her decrees. But she was an intercessor, and she was waiting with longing. She was lingering in the presence of God, and she pressed for those promises to be fulfilled. Now, Jesus, it says, he came in the fullness of time. In the time realm. He came in the fullness of time. So for Jesus to be made manifest in the realm of time, God needed his agents, his intercessors, his prayer warriors to give birth to this in time. And Anna the prophetess pressed, and she got to see the Messiah. She got to see what she had pressed for. She got to see what she had lingered for. She got to see what she waited for. It didn't happen overnight, by the way. That's what lingering is all about, right? That's what waiting is all about. That's what pressing is all about. We've been studying different revivals, like with Evan Roberts. You know, he started praying, pressing in for his nation when he was 15 years of age. But the actual sovereign outpouring didn't actually come till he was 26. But he never stopped lingering. He never stopped waiting. He never stopped pressing. We see also the example of the early church in Acts 1. Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father came. And so they did. They knew what tarrying was all about. They'd been with Jesus. They watched him pray through. They watched him get a hold of God and stand there and pray through. And so they did. We see it in Acts 1:14, where they all came together and they prayed in one accord, continuously pressing in for the promise that had been given, giving birth to the promise. You see, revivals are birthed through lingering, waiting, and pressing. Study every single one and you'll see it. Every single one. Biblical revivals and historical revivals. Miracle realms are birthed through lingering, waiting, and pressing. I've had some friends over the years who have excelled in miracle ministry. And one of them in particular, I've watched them from being very young in the Lord. And they were drawn to spend hours and hours and hours in the presence of the Lord, just pressing in for the Lord. They would spend at least 8 hours every single day in this season, just pressing in, reading the word, seeing the miracles and say, God, I'm not satisfied until I see you're working here in the earth, and just pressed in after them. And then they started manifesting and over the years got more and more and more until it became, you know, a global release of miracles. Breakthroughs are birthed through lingering, waiting, and pressing. Sometimes we bawl and squall because of the bondage we're in, but all we have to do is linger, wait, and press. If you complain, you'll never get it. If you whine and cry about, you know, the problems, you're not going to get the breakthrough. Breakthroughs come from lingering, waiting, and pressing. Standing on the promise of God, standing on the word of God, and not moving because his voice is true. And he won't be mocked. Yeah. Deepened relationship with God. How many of you want a deepened relationship with him? I'm so hungry for more of him. You can just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper because he's eternal. A deepened relationship with God is birthed through lingering, waiting, and pressing. Now, lingering, waiting, and pressing is not initiated from a striving and a pushing out of fear, thinking, oh no, if I don't do this, I'm not going to get anything. I better, you know, you're all full of, you know, stressed out energy there. No, that's not what it is, because lingering, waiting, and pressing is initiated from the promise, not for the promise. So God has already given the promise, and we push in for that. We push through any barriers we have. We push in and through any resistance that might be there so that we can secure the manifestation of the promise. Now, in the natural birth process, when a woman's pregnant and ready to give birth, you don't go into labor to create a baby. The baby's already fully formed in the womb. You labor to give birth to what is already yours. It's already there. It's just a matter of pushing it out. It's not as easy as I just said, but for those of you that know. So God has already given us the promises. We partner with him for the birthing of them into manifestation. In other words, what I'm trying to say, what we're contending for right now is a given. It's not, oh, I wonder if we'll ever have this. I wonder if it'll ever happen. No, it's already given. It's just a matter of giving birth to it. And we're going to see so much birthing in this season of the promises of God because there's been a turnover of Roe v. Wade. I know that sounds funny, but there's more that happened in the spirit with that transaction than what you can even imagine. Because we legalized abortion, especially to the degree that we did, and murdered all those children, a curse was brought on the land. A curse came on this land. And in that curse, people became barren. They couldn't give life. And they were innocent. It just came in the air. It was in the air in the nation. So even good people got affected by that curse because it comes on the land. And so there's many that couldn't conceive a child. They were barren. And there was many miscarriages and many stillborns, such as I've never, ever seen in my whole life in this last couple of decades. It has escalated to incredible numbers. That's going to stop because we're breaking the curse. But in the spirit, there's been a lot of birthing that came to nothing that was alive in the past. But now is the time to birth, birth, birth. We're going to have a baby boom, and I'm talking about the vision of God. So what I've tried to do with you over the last few months is give you a picture of what God has done in the past so that you can know what he can do now. Because whatever he did in the past, remember that the latter glory is greater than that. So what he's about to do in you, through you, for you, is going to be greater than what we talk about now. You just have to attach your faith to it and get ready to birth the new beginnings. So I want to share a story with you and some insights that I learned from a man of God that I was really impacted by as a young Christian. I got born again in 1976. And in 1981, so it's just 5 years later, I had the honor of serving with a man named Dr. Benson Idahosa in Nigeria, Africa. And it was an honor to serve with him. But what I learned from him, just through the presence of God that was around him, I'm telling you, when you sat down to have a meal with him, the whole room filled with a spirit of faith. You came out of eating, you know, a sandwich, knowing that you could transform the whole world and nothing could stop you. That's the level of faith he operated in. Now, whatever you contend for in the spirit, that's what you have to give to others. It becomes an impartational realm once you seize it. It's worth going after. That's why all the revivalists that we've talked about in these past months, all of them contended and lingered and waited and pressed before the Lord, and they produced a realm through that. A realm was opened up that then it impacted whole regions and nations and individuals who were in the presence of that God, and they became spouts for the glory to pour out, and there was impartation from it. But God is not a respecter of persons. He can do it from anyone, for anyone who positions himself. And we want you to be positioned for this. So let me share a few things about Benson Idahosa. I sat with him for hours and heard his stories and talked to many of his ministers and heard their stories. So most of what I'm sharing with you is from memory of those talks that we had. So in the beginning of his life, he was born into a non-Christian family. His parents weren't Christians, and they were very poor. And as a newborn, he was a very frail baby, and he fussed a lot. He cried a lot. And his father could not tolerate the crying. They had had other children as well. Father couldn't tolerate the crying. It just bugged him. So he commanded and demanded the mother to get rid of Benson. He said, get rid of that child. And so there was a garbage dump right across from where they lived. And so one night, in the middle of the night, it was a very rainy night, the father told the mother, get him out of here now, go throw him on the garbage dump. And out of obedience to him, she did that. She wrapped up her baby, little Benson, and she walked him through the rain and put him on the garbage heap, went back to the house. But when she was in the house, she heard his cries. And it just wouldn't turn off. She heard his cries. And she tried to roll over and make it go away, plug her ears, but it wouldn't go away. And the cry taunted her. So she got up, went over to the garbage dump, picked up her baby, and took little Benson over to a family member who had a large farm. I believe it was an uncle, if I remember correctly, who had a large farm. He was a polygamist. He had many wives and many children, like dozens of children. And they all worked the farm. So they took little Benson in as a baby, and when he was old enough, even as a toddler, to do some work around the farm, they worked him on the farm. He didn't have a mother or father who loved him. He didn't have anyone who loved him. He was a throwaway baby. when you hear stories like that, if you have any self-pity whatsoever for your life, it kind of throws it down the drain, right? And he was worked to the bone, even as a child on the farm, with no one to celebrate him, with no one to love him, with no one to reach out to him. He had no education until he was 14 years of age. He actually went to school when he was 14. And when he went to school, there was a young boy who reached out to him. He was bullied at school. He was rejected at school. But there was a boy that reached out to him. And that boy was a Christian. And he shared the gospel with Benson Itohosa. And Benson Itohosa received Jesus as a savior in his teens. And when he did, he was so elated with knowing that someone loved him with an everlasting love. He felt the love of God, that he would just spend time in prayer. He was barely learning how to read, but someone gave him a Bible, so he started reading the Bible. The Bible actually taught him to read. And he started devouring the Word of God and being in prayer. He was so poor, but he had Jesus. He was so poor, he didn't even have his first pair of shoes until he was 18, where he saved up money to buy a pair of shoes when he was 18. And so he fell in love with the Lord. He was called into ministry by the Lord in a night vision, actually. And how he describes it, he says, the Lord spoke to him and said, I have called you that you might take the gospel around the world in my name, preach the gospel, and I will confirm the word with signs following. And when he heard the Lord speak those words, he fell to his knees because there was so much presence in the room. When he was awakened by the Lord, there was so much presence in the room. He fell to his knees and, of course, responded to the call and gave God his yes. And he said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go. Well, the first assignment the Lord gave him is the Lord led him into the midst of a very, very dark area of Benin City. Benin City in Nigeria back in that day had been known as the city of blood. And the reason why is because there was so much blood sacrifice done there through witch covens, through satanic covens. And a lot of times when people would go into the city, they would be apprehended by the cults and used as a sacrifice to the enemy. So they wouldn't come out alive. And that's why they called it the city of blood. And so the Lord called Benson in his first assignment to go into that really dark place. So he went in and he rented a little room, a very, very humble room in one of the darkest places of the city. And he locked the room and he fasted and prayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he shared the story, he said, I was so excited to do the work and the will of God, that I wasn't even hungry for natural food. He had a little bit of water, but he had no juice, nothing to give his body nutrition. He said, the Lord was my nutrition. And he stayed in that room for 40 days and 40 nights, and the presence of God filled him. He pressed in. He lingered. He waited. He didn't even hardly sleep during that time. He was just given over completely to the Lord. Completely to God. And God filled him. When you linger, when you wait, when you press, God will fill you. And it might not even feel that way at first. I've experienced this where I've set time apart, gone away, locked myself into the room just like this. And there'll be days sometimes where I'm just doing by faith and because of my own will, chasing after God, not feeling a thing, not sensing anything. But then all of a sudden the breakthrough comes, and it always will when you linger, when you wait, and when you press. And so that's what he did. He positioned himself for it. And when he came out of that room, he was drenched. He was filled with power from on high. He was drenched with anointing. He was clothed in glory. He didn't have a team of people who were with him. He didn't have anyone with him. He had lived a very lonely life in his early years. And when he came to the Lord, it was basically just God plus nothing equals everything that I need. And so he was filled with God when he came out of that room. And the Lord said, now go preach my gospel. Get out there. And where did he preach? His first place of sharing the gospel was out on the streets of Benin to the witches, the warlocks, the Satanists, without fear. Most of the population feared the Satanists. They feared the witches. But you see, when you're filled with the power of God, there's nothing that makes you afraid. Nothing. No one. Because the love of God compels you. And with love for people's souls, he went out and preached the gospel. And some of the satanic ritual leaders, the priests and the priestesses and that, came to the Lord as he went and preached. And he preached all around the city and began to put little groups together that he would go around, share the gospel with, and disciple them and everything. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And he became a threat to the enemy. And the enemy started waging attack against him. But you don't have to ever be afraid of attack when you're in the Lord. And they would threaten him. They would get together. You know, the heads of these satanic covens would get together. They said, let's go after Benson Edohausen. And he just thought, yeah, just try it. And he would execute the power of God and legislate the kingdom of God in their midst. And many of them would bow down, weeping or running away, fleeing. Even many of the government leaders of that city and region came to know Jesus Christ. And they became afraid of Benson Edohausen over time because of the power he operated in. I remember one story. He was on his way. He needed to go on a plane. This was later on, of course, in his ministry, but he went to get on a plane, and the plane had left, and he went to the desk, and he said, I am Benson Edohausen, man of God. Tell that plane to stop. It has to come back for me. And you know, I mean, if you've been flying at all, you know that they don't do that. They say, sorry, you know, the gate's closed. You missed it. But they brought the plane back. Things like that. I mean, I could tell many stories. It was drenched with power and the gospel spread. And in the midst of confrontation of all this satanic stuff, the Lord mightily, mightily convicted many, so many impacted. But he was a man of much prayer, a man of much prayer. Fasting and prayer was a lifestyle. And his wife, Margaret Edohausen, she told me, she said, you know, he's always praying. And sometimes he fasts and prays, he locks himself, and she showed me the room that he went into. That's his prayer room. And when he goes in there and he locks himself in, he doesn't come out for days. And I'm worried, has he died in there? He has no food. He barely has anything to drink. And she'll knock on the door, and he's just groaning in there before God. Doesn't even answer the door. But he'll come out with an increase of power, an increase of manifestation of the glory of God. And his ministry spread all throughout Africa, powerfully, powerfully impacted the different nations in Africa. See, Benson Edohausen, he was a God chaser. He came from nothing. There's a blessing on you if you know that you've got nothing but God. He came from nothing. He was not wanted. He was a throwaway. He was one that no one loved, respected, or cared about. He was a God chaser. He built the kingdom. It was the fruit of lingering, waiting, and pressing. He built a miracle city. There was many documented miracles, or center rather, a miracle center. You know, we saw all the wheelchairs, the crutches, the canes, everything, stretchers left behind, rooms of it just left behind, because people would walk in sick and come out well. It was Jesus at work. It was beautiful. The dead were raised. There's financial miracles, deliverances. He built a Bible school and a university. And I remember being there when the structure was being rebuilt, because what had happened, he started building it. at the word of the Lord. The Lord told him to build it, and he built everything by faith. He didn't have the money to begin with to do anything. He just said, okay, God, I say yes to you. And he started doing what the Lord told him to do. And the Lord said, you go build a school, and it became a university. So he put all of the foundation in, all the framework, the roof, everything. It was already up. All the windows were framed in. Classrooms were framed in. Everything. And he wakes up one morning, and the whole thing had come to the ground. Fell to the ground. The enemy sent a storm. Nothing else was touched, only that building. And he stood out there and looked at the building in shambles. That's enough to shake anybody and make you cry. When you've put that much effort, that much money, that much time into it, it could make you cry, but not him. He said, devil, you will be sorry you ever tried. Now, you've heard me say that, right? You've heard me say that? That's where I got it from. I got it from Benson Idahosa. When I heard that story, I thought, yeah. And so you know what he did? He said, devil, because you harass me, I'm building it bigger. I'm building up bigger and I'm building it stronger. And it became a very fruitful place, raised up evangelists and ministries that went all over the world. He also built the largest and most prestigious TV studio in the continent of Africa at the time. And we were there for its dedication, which was kind of fun, and saw pictures of it afterwards. But he just went for it. When God would speak to him, he'd just say yes. I remember him telling me a story of three Satanists from another part of Africa had wanted to stop him because the kingdom was advancing so quickly. And so these three satanic leaders got together and they said, just moving by yourself, we'll never be able to do it, but let's band together. And so they came together and started doing incantations, rituals, and everything, all their fasting and praying to the devil and their powers. And they said, now we'll join together and we will go there and we'll release a curse through a handshake. And when he shakes our hand, we'll release the curse and he will die. And they spent months preparing in these rituals. And so they're getting ready to go, and God gives Benson Idahosa a dream. And in the dream, he sees three men looking like ministers. They were dressed in three-piece suits. They had a Bible under their arm. And he sees them coming toward him. And the devil said, they are not what they appear to be. They are satanic leaders, and they're here to release a curse through a handshake. But you're going to reverse it on them. Yes. So he's waiting for them because he had the dream. And so he's in his room, and he gets a call from the guard at the gate. And the guard said, there's three men of God wanting to see you, Bishop. What do you say? And he says, yes, bring them on through. So he goes out to meet them, and they're ready to release their curse. They're looking like Christians, but they're from the devil. They're disguised. But remember, God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And so they put their hand out to shake, and he puts his hand out, and he takes hold of one, and lightning strikes him, and he falls to the ground. The other one, yeah, by that time, the third one's like, you know, and they're all down. They're all down. He preaches the gospel to them. Another story he told me, and I'll just maybe finish with this one. There's so many stories, oh my gosh, but I think that you'll really like this one. Many of you will remember the Idi Amin massacres, you know, back there in the 1970s. Maybe not many of you will remember. Some of you will. Anyways, he was brutal. He was a brutal leader. He was a Ugandan military officer and politician who served as the third president of Uganda from 1971 to 1979. And he was a military dictator. He ruled as a dictator. And he was considered as one of the most brutal leaders in world history. And in his rule, it was characterized by rampant abuses of human rights, including political repression, ethnic persecution, extrajudicial killings, as well as nepotism, corruption, gross economic mismanagement, and he loved to kill believers. And it is estimated that through his direct killing, there was between 100 and 500,000 people killed under his regime. Benzenita Hosa has a vision. The Lord speaks to him in the vision and says, you are to go and preach the gospel to Uganda because the people are being killed there. You need to go preach the gospel and save souls in Uganda. And the Lord gave him Idi Amin's phone number. And he says, you call Idi Amin and tell him you're coming. This was like at 4 a.m. or something, you know. He picks up the phone. He dials the number the Lord gave him. It's Idi Amin's personal contact. Idi Amin actually answers the phone. And he said, is this Idi Amin? He says, yes. He says, this is Benzenita Hosa, man of God. And I'm to tell you that I'm coming into Uganda to preach the gospel. Idi Amin answers, he said, my dead body you will. And he says, well, if that's the way you want it. So he waited on God for the right time to go in. And when the Lord spoke to him and said, now's the time, they went immediately. As soon as the Lord said, now, they went immediately without conferring with anyone else, went immediately to exactly where God showed him to go, preach to thousands, tens of thousands, maybe over 100,000 people. There were so many converts, and he was able to get all these underground groups all established before Idi Amin even knew he was in the country. It just went in and out. Then he showed up in another place, in and out. That's the kind of faith he had. And the reason why I wanted to share these stories with you is because, see, he was just a man. Benzenita Hosa wasn't a god. He's a man. And a very frail one. So frail that he was going to be thrown out. He had nothing. There's no reason why God would choose him. Except he was a man of faith. He responded to God. He lingered. He waited. He pressed. He went after God. From the moment he came to know God, he pressed after God. And that same God that he lingered for and waited for and pressed after is your God. And God is no respecter of persons. He's just looking for people who will position themselves. His eyes are moving to and fro throughout the earth right now to show himself strong for those whose hearts are completely his. He's looking right now for the revivalists that will be carrying this revival, this move. Who will steward it for him? It can be you. You say, well, why me? Just because you got God in you and you're able to linger, you're able to wait, you're able to press, but will you? You know, sometimes we say, yeah, prayer meeting, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'll show up. And then we're there, but we're not really there. You know what I mean? But you can tell the ones that are lingering, waiting, and pressing. They're all in. They're just all in. They might not even say a word. That's not the point. They might not say a word. They might not utter a prayer out loud. But you can tell they're there. And they're there day after day after day. And they're lingering. Are the ones at home. Hey, I'm on my boat right now. But I can't get my mind off of God. I'm just praying. I'm going after him. I'm in my home right now, but I can't get my mind off of God. In fact, I'm not even doing housework today because I just got to go after God. This next move of the Spirit is going to be so big. It is going to represent God in greater ways than we've ever known. In the North American church, honestly, our faith is weak. When you look at what happened in Africa through a throwaway baby who believed in God, and believed in what God could do, coming against strong Satanists, you know, terrorists, whatever, because he knew the strength of his God. He knew who his God was. He knew the promises of God. He pressed for the release of the manifestation of those promises. When you see what God can do through one man, what if we all pressed after God like that? What if we all went after God like that? And instead of having one man's testimony, we have a corporate testimony of a people who are of one spirit. That's what I want for Shiloh. Whether you're part of our on-site family or the online family, what I want for us is that we be one voice before God that says, God, we believe your word. We know that you're not mocked by what the devil's saying. We are not moved by anything that the government says. We're not moved by anything that people would say against you. We're on your side. We know your word. We will legislate the kingdom of God because of our faith in you and what your word says, and we are immovable. We're not going to let ridiculous fear get a hold of us, doubt, unbelief, all this ridiculous stuff that we set our minds on that only destroys instead of builds. And only you can steward your own soul. Only you can choose if you're going to give in to fear and unbelief and doubt. When you hear all the reports of the world or people, you know, I hear, oh, people aren't treating me very nice. People aren't talking very nice to me. They're not responding like I want them to, you know, and it's maybe this and maybe that. Come on off it. Really? Is that what a man or woman of God looks like and sounds like? Come on. We're people of faith. We're people who know our God. We sang at the victor's crown. We wear the victor's crown because he gave us his authority. He gave us his word. He gave us all that he is. For his is the kingdom, the glory, the power, the wealth, the honor forever and ever. And he lives in you. He is your God. And I believe we have a room. We have a room of revivalists here. We have a room of earth shakers, of world changers in this room, because you are going to linger and wait and press. Amen? And we have grace for it. We're in a season of grace. We say, yeah, I'm really pressing. I could say that to you. I'm really pressing after God. But it's not even a hard press. It's an easy press, because the grace of the Lord accomplishes it. And if you don't have the grace yet, just choose it until the grace lands. Just say, I'm going after you, God. I don't feel it. I don't feel the grace for it. I'm going after you. I'm going to linger. I'm going to wait. I'm going to press. Here I am, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Just call Jesus' name by the hour. That's a good start. And just press until the grace comes. When the grace comes, it's like you can't even miss a prayer meeting. You change all of your calendar around. Change everything so that you can get to prayer. I remember, I think it was Friday's prayer meeting. I had already had a scheduled media appointment, and I thought, oh, it's right during the prayer meeting. I'm not going to be able to make the prayer meeting. I said, oh, God, I wish I had not said yes to that. I'm going to miss a prayer meeting. I don't want to miss a prayer meeting. What if I miss a prayer meeting and it's when everything breaks open and I'm not there? I was thinking that. And so get up in the morning and my assistant sends me a text saying, oh, by the way, that leader had to cancel because something came up and they won't be able to do it, so they're going to reschedule. I said, reschedule in the afternoon. God will move mountains for you when you're in the press. I want to release the grace over you this morning. How many of you want a revival that is even beyond the testimonies that we just shared? Right? God's able to do way beyond. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Amen? And you're all candidates for being vessels to labor with him for that end. People will sit around your meal table and you'll be sharing testimonies and they'll say, I have an impartation of faith just by having a sandwich with you. All of you can have that. He loves you so much. It's what he wants for all of us. He wants us to be so big in him that we look like him, smell like him, sound like him, you know, that we're just like him. We don't live on a low, you know, natural man level. No, we're way beyond that. We're like him. Where does that come from? Being in his presence, letting him change you, letting him transform you. Stand to your feet. I just want to release an impartation. I just believe that there's going to be just the power of the Lord is going to hit many of you here. I know that we're way over, but it doesn't seem to matter these days. It just doesn't seem to matter. You can all go if you want, but there'll be those who will linger. But if we could have the worship team come up, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for pouring out your grace upon your people today, a grace that will enable them to linger and to wait and to press. You have so much for them. I see these buckets and buckets. It's like camel loads of good things the Lord wants to deliver to your life that you haven't even considered yet him giving to you. You say, I have this for you. If you will just press for it, it's all yours. He loves you so much. He just wants you to receive the fullness of all that he has. And so, Lord, I release grace upon your people now to seek you, to long for you, to connect with you such as they've never known before. Lord, I want more grace. I want increased grace myself. I want more. I'm not satisfied. I'm just not satisfied. I want more. I want more. Lord, one taste of you just makes me want more. Lord, put hunger and desperation inside of your people so that they will seek after you. You alone, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we want all the great things that you give, but yes, those are fine, but not if we can't have raw Jesus in our midst. And so, Lord, we just receive the impartation right now of your grace to seek after you and to be changed. The revivalist will emerge out of prayer. The revivalist will emerge out of those who linger, wait, and press. And boy, are we going to see some great evangelists, revivalists, prophets, apostles, teachers. I want you to think on this right now. We have a Father who lives in heaven who wants us to live in earth as it is in his abode. He doesn't want us to be separated from that heavenly life. And when you see things going on in the world today, and you hear the voices that are contrary to God's voice, and when you hear the rulers of this world saying, let's throw down the Lord and his anointed, the Father's saying to you, don't even listen to it. Push the mute button. He said, I'm not listening to that because my kingdom, my power, my glory is what's going to remain forever and ever. And if you're with me, you will be inside of those things forever and ever and ever.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.